Welcome to Love Letters at the End of the World. This collaborative offering is an hour-long practice that can be done anywhere. We invite you to move in ways that feel comfortable, but also you will be prompted to do some reflection. So please make sure you have art supplies or writing utensils and paper that you can engage in some reflection work after our different practices. In the same token, make sure that you are in a space that allows for you to move, that allows for you to explore, and that allows for you the comfort to sit and engage with feelings that may be uncomfortable, with feelings that may bring sorrow, with feelings that may bring joy. This offering comes from the depths of our practice, the love that we have for each other, for engaging with and building out a next, more just world. So let's begin. To start, we will ground in our breath and in our bodies. So with eyes closed or open or a softened gaze, without changing your breath, start to pay attention to it. Now, let's begin to deepen our breath. And start to expand where our breath reaches. Is it in your chest, in your belly? Can you bring it to your back? Can you bring your breath through your genitals, to your legs, all the way down to the tips of your toes? Can you extend your breath into your arms? Into your shoulders and neck. And breathe into any place that feels a little sticky. And now take a moment to engage with where your body is at. A little shake, a little stretch. Take a few moments to both ground and expand, because when the music begins, we will start our practice and our movement score, where we invite you, however you are, however you can, to improvise movement based on the prompts we will provide in this section. It'll be about a 25-minute practice. And then offer time for reflection.
The rain, driving down to shatter the deep, still heat of the summer. What gives life to the land around you? A ghost migration in the sky, harbingers of change, hazing in from the other side of an end, reminders of the always impending beginning. Which movement of the sea, sky, or land lives in you? Thank you.
Snow on the mountains, the distance between us gone, under skies of gray. In your surroundings, what divisions can be undone?
A mind drawn taut, deep in thought, driven towards truth, towards correct conclusion. What is your sense of justice made of? Your sense of what builds our reality? Thank you.
I want to be known, but mirrors can't see themselves. Return me to sand. What elements do you need to return to gather yourself?
Grass stains on knees from the match, the dance of cut, pass, juke, chase, twist, sprint. Which is the body language you know so well? The simple staying love of a grandfather, replete with jokes, toothpickings, and deep care for his grandchildren, his four daughters, and his late wife. Whom do you hold close? Thank you.
It's okay to wake, just to be held again. Our bodies remember. What is or where do you find safety when facing the unknown?
Belly laughter like lemon juice cutting the fat, like light cutting dark. What etches lines through your life brings the vibrance.
It's never too late to begin to right your wrongs. We walk within grace. In the space that you are in or on your body, map a path towards forgiveness. Thank you.
closeness knit from love and trust that brings us, alienated from ourselves and one another as we are, together with purpose. With what or with whom do you yearn to connect? What do you hope to wield together?
As the music continues to fade, start to come to a close. Now, with your writing utensils or art making, take some paper out and begin to reflect on your experience. You'll have 7 minutes. For our next offering, we invite you into a meditation. This meditation can be done lying down, sitting. It can be a movement meditation, or you can continue with the writing or art making that you have decided to do your reflections with. However you engage, it is welcome. Take a moment to find your place, and when this song ends, our meditation will begin.
There are days, this is one of them, when you wonder what your role is in this country and what your future is in it.
From my point of view, no label, no slogan, and no party, and no skin color, and indeed no religion, is more important than the human being.
Well, when you were starting out as a writer, you were black, impoverished, homosexual. You must have said to yourself, gee, how disadvantaged can I get?
Well, no, I thought I hit the jackpot.
Oh, great.
If it's so outrageous, you could not go any further, you know. You had to find a way to use it.
and time in, and then you ask me, you know, whether I approve of violence. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense at all. Whether I approve of guns. I grew up in Birmingham, Alabama. Some very, very good friends of mine were killed by bombs, bombs that were planted by racists. I remember from the time I was very small, I remember the sounds of bombs exploding across the street, our house shaking. I remember my father having to have guns at his disposal at all times because of the fact that at any moment someone, we might expect to be attacked. The man who was at that time in complete control of the city government, his name was Bull Connor, would often get on the radio and make statements like, niggas have moved into a white neighborhood, we better expect some bloodshed tonight. And sure enough, there would be bloodshed. After the four young girls who lived, one of them lived next door to me. I was very good friends with the sister of another. My sister was very good friends with all three of them. My mother taught one of them in a class. My mother, in fact, when the bombing occurred, one of the mothers of one of the young girls called my mother and said, can you take me down to the church to pick up Carol? I heard about the bombing. And they went down, and what did they find? They found limbs and heads strewn all over the place. And then after that, in my neighborhood, all the men organized themselves into an armed patrol. They had to take their guns and patrol our community every night because they did not want that to happen. I mean, that's why when someone asked me about violence, I just find it incredible. What it means is that the person who's asking that question has absolutely no idea what black people have gone through, what black people have experienced in this country since the time the first black person was kidnapped from the Jewish family.
Everybody is half dead. Everybody avoids everybody. All over the place, in most situations, most all the time. I know I'm one of those everybodies. And to me, it is terrible. And so all I'm trying to do all the time is just to open people up so they can feel themselves and let themselves be open to somebody else. That is all. That's it. I've always thought that I was shaking people up, but now I want to go at it more, and I want to go at it more deliberately, and I want to go at it coldly. I want to shake people up so bad that when they leave a nightclub where I performed, I just want them to be to pieces. I want to go in that den of those elegant people with their old ideas, smugness, and just drive them insane. When I'm calm and cool and really got the antenna working, you know when to push and you know when to not. Nobody can tell you though, you have to feel it. In any situation between human beings, it's what makes a groove.
Well, what's free to you?
What's free to me?
Yeah.
Same thing it is to you. You tell me.
No, no, you tell me. No, no. Because I had to talk to you for
it's
such a long...
It's just a feeling. It's just a feeling. It's like, how do you tell somebody how it feels to be in love? How are you going to tell anybody who has not been in love how it feels to be in love? You cannot do it to save your life. You can describe things, but you can't tell them. But you know it when it happens. That's what I mean by free. I've had a couple of times on stage when I really felt free. And that's something else. That's really something else. Like like, I'll tell you what freedom is to me. No fear. I mean, really, no fear. If I could have that half of my life, no fear. Lots of children have no fear. That's the closest way, that's the only way I can describe it. That's not all of it, but it is something to really, really feel.
Have you, like, no. I've noticed.
Like a new way of seeing. Like a new way of seeing something.
You have to be logical, you know? If I know that in this hotel room, they have food every day, and I'm knocking on the door every day to eat, and they open the door, let me see the party, let me see, like, they throwing salami all over the, you know, I mean, just like throwing food around, but they're telling me there's no food in here. You know what I'm saying? Every day, I'm standing outside trying to sing my way in. You know what I'm saying? We are hungry, please let us in. We are hungry, please let us in. After about a week, that song is gonna change to, we hungry, we need some food. After 2-3 weeks, it's like, you know, give me all the food, I'm wrecking out the door. And after a year, you just like, you know what I'm saying? I'm picking the lock, coming through the door, blasting, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you hungry, you reached your level, you don't want any more. We asked 10 years ago. We was asking with the Panthers. We was asking with them, you know, the civil rights movement. We was asking. You know, now those people that were asking, they're all dead and in jail. So now what do you think we're gonna do? And we shouldn't be angry. And my raps that I'm rapping to my community shouldn't be filled with rage. You know what I'm saying? They shouldn't be filled with the same atrocities that they gave to me. In the media, they don't talk about it. So in my raps, I have to talk about it. And it just seems foreign because, you know what I'm saying? So it's like all the society is doing is leeching off the ghetto. They use the ghetto for their pain, for their sorrow, for their culture, for their music, for their happiness, for their movies, to talk about boys in the hood. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be another young. I don't want to be 50 years old at a BET We Shall Overcome Achievement Awards. You know what I'm saying? Uh-uh. Not me. You know, I want when they see me, they know that every day when I'm breathing, it's for us to go farther. You know, every time I speak, I want the truth to come out. You know what I'm saying? Every time I speak, I want to shiver. You know, I don't want them to be like, they know what I'm gonna say because it's polite. They know what I'm gonna say. And even if I get in trouble, you know what I'm saying? That ain't that what we're supposed to do. I'm not saying I'm gonna rule the world or I'm gonna change the world, but I guarantee that I will spark the brain that will change the world. And that's our job, is to spark somebody else watching us. We might not be the ones, but let's not be selfish. And because we're not gonna change the world, let's not talk about how we should change. I don't know how to change it. But I know if I keep talking about how dirty it is out here, somebody gonna clean it up.
Because this world is such a, and when I say this world, I mean it. I don't mean in an ideal sense. I mean in every day, every little thing you do. It's such a, gimme, gimme, gimme. Everybody back off. You know, like everybody's like, you taught that from school, everywhere, big business. You want to be successful? You want to be like Trump? Gimme, gimme, gimme. Push, 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 push. Step, step, step. Crush, crush, crush. That's how it all is. And it's, we need to help black kids, Mexican kids, Korean kids, whatever. But it needs to be real. And it needs to be before we all die. And then you say, oh, I made a mistake. We should have gave them some money. We really should have helped these folks. It's going to be too late. There's too much money here. I mean, nobody should be hitting lotto for $36 million if you got people starving in the streets. That is not idealistic. That's just real. That is just stupid. There's no way Michael Jackson should have, or whoever Jackson, should have a $1,000,000,000 and then there's people starving. There's no way. There's no way that these people should own planes and their people don't have houses, apartments, shacks, drawers, pants. I know you're rich. I know you got $40 billion, but can you just keep it to one house? You only need one house. And if you only got two kids, can you just keep it to two rooms? I mean, why have 52 rooms and you know there's somebody with no room? It just don't make sense to me. It don't. We got to survive here. For us to survive here, white folks, black folks, Korean folks, Mexican folks, Puerto Ricans, we got to understand each other. We got to take you, a bigger chance. And you, you, the guy, you know, you, the mechanic, wherever, you, I mean, you need to do something. You need to check yourself and see how racist you are. You know what I'm saying? It's real.
Thank you for participating in our practice. We hope you've enjoyed Love Letters at the End of the World. And we encourage folks to do another reflection, writing, art making, processing. And if you feel so inclined, we'd love to hear reflections from your experience. Thank you again.